Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 11th of March, 2024 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news and sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, the King Edward Pier work is delayed by months. The latest on the ambulance crash yesterday, a refresh in government departments. Watch out for horses on the road and the Ravens swoop from defeat to victory at the weekend.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. The Isle of Man Constabulary is appealing for witnesses following a road traffic collision that happened in the area of Ballacamine Road in Douglas this weekend. They have now confirmed that three people are currently being treated for injuries after the incident. Government has announced a number of changes to the political memberships of its departments. The changes take effect immediately, with the Council of Ministers deeming the reshuffle a refresh. The Red Arrows will be returning for the Isle of Man TT again this year. The aerobatic display team has published its schedule for 2024, confirming they'll be flying over the island once again on Friday the 7th of June. Further afield, the Princess of Wales has been seen leaving Windsor to attend what we're told is a private appointment, after she apologised for the confusion caused by editing a family photograph. Kate shared the image of herself and her three children yesterday for Mother's Day. Red paint's been sprayed across the Scottish Parliament building in Edinburgh as campaigners there protest against food insecurity. Three people have been arrested. And Primark staff are getting a pay rise. Average wages are to rise 9.1% from April to reflect changes to the national minimum wage. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Siobhan. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there is a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea, slight or moderate. And the weather this evening, dry and cloudy in the light. Variable breeze, it will settle southerly as the evening goes on. They're bringing rain overnight as it swings westerly and down to 7 degrees. For Tuesday, Dromert, wet and windy with a fresh to strong southerly. Daylight maximum is 12, overnight minimum 8 degrees. And Wednesday, drizzly rain on a fresh to strong southwest wind up to 11 degrees. Sunset 16 minutes past 6, low tide 29 minutes before 7, high tide 22 minutes after midnight, sunrise in the morning 21 minutes before 7, and the morning low tide 18 minutes to 7.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Delays caused by uneven bedrock at the end of the King Edward VIII Pier will set back a project to upgrade the site by several months. The Department of Infrastructure is currently in the process of altering the structure to accommodate the steam packet's newest vessel, Manxman. The details from Siobhan Fletcher.
The major engineering project got underway in September last year, with an end date stated at the time as in the new year. However, Director of Harbours, David Guberman, now says this will likely be after TT. It's due to issues encountered around the installation of the two mooring dolphin piles at the end of the pier, namely the depth of the bedrock being further below sea level than anticipated. A test borehole first indicated the depth of the bedrock to be around 10 metres beneath sea level, so a contingency of 2 extra metres was allowed for. However, it emerged the bedrock was actually at more than 17 metres and almost 15 metres below sea level in some places. Accounting for the deeper bedrock required more powerful specialist drilling equipment to be deployed to ensure the temporary piles for a platform could be secured. All 6 piles required to create the temporary drilling platform for the permanent dolphin piles have now been successfully installed, and the next step will see the drilling taking place. The department says it and the contractor is collaborating well with the steam packet to ensure the project can continue to move forwards, whilst ensuring there is minimal effect on sailings and the overall passenger experience. When asked if the delayed completion date would affect those sailing to and from the island during TT, ATT, Mr. Guberman says they are not expecting it to have any impact. Tim Cruckle is the Infrastructure Minister and he echoed that sentiment.
It shouldn't have. The contractors have been working with the department and with Steam Packet, so hopefully everything will be okay. And you know, if they can't use the King Edward Pier, then they'll move across the bay and use the other one, but it shouldn't impact on services, hopefully.
A pedestrian was airlifted to the UK following an incident involving an ambulance yesterday. A police investigation is now underway, and the story with Beth Espy.
At around midday yesterday, police, fire and the ambulance service attended reports of the road traffic collision in the area of Ballycommeen Road in Douglas. It involved an ambulance and several other vehicles, and as a result, a member of the public who was in the area at the time was injured. That female was flown to the UK for further treatment. Two members of staff from the ambulance service were also taken to Nobles Hospital for treatment because of injuries they sustained. Police say they're currently working with the ambulance service to investigate the circumstances of the collision, and they're appealing to any members of the public who saw what happened or who may have CCTV or dash camera footage of the incident or the location. They'd like them to get in touch or make contact via Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. Officers are also asking the public to refrain from speculation at this time as they work, they say, to fully establish the facts of what has occurred.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
The bank's government today announced a number of changes to the political memberships of its departments. The Council of Ministers has deemed the reshuffle a refresh, with the changes taking effect immediately. The details from Tessa Hawley.
Russian MHK Michelle Hayward has joined the Treasury, leaving her roles in the Department of Health and Social Care, the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, and the Department for Enterprise. Douglas South's Sarah Maltby joins the Department of Education, Sport and Culture and the Department for Enterprise, leaving her role in Treasury. Additionally, Douglas Central's Chris Thomas will become the Vice Chair of the Isle of Man Office of Fair Trading, that position subject to the approval of Tim Walt. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon said, as we reach the halfway point of this administration, some Tim Walt members have expressed a desire to broaden their experience and contribute in other parts of government. He continues, the Council of Ministers has reflected on this and reviewed department memberships. Changes, he says, have been agreed, which will refresh the political lineup in departments and bring renewed energy as we continue our work to deliver the island plan. I believe it's important that Tim Ward members build a broad and rounded understanding of policy areas and public services, says Mr. Cannon. Serving in departments and boards is a way for members to deepen their knowledge and make a valuable contribution to our island community. He finishes by saying he's grateful to those who've stepped forward to serve.
FC Isle of Man produced a stunning second half comeback to beat Longridge Town 3-2 in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend after going two goals down in the first 45 minutes. Manager Paul Jones says with back-to-back wins, it shows the boys are working hard and building confidence.
We did what we asked them to do first half to an extent, but I think we were a little bit too far away. We were a little bit too deep, and we just asked the players to be a little bit braver and, you know, really commit to what we're asking them to do. And we knew that we could win the ball back higher up the pitch, we'd cause them some problems, and that's ultimately what happened. So yeah, just a little bit more energy, a little bit more intensity to what we're doing, kind of moving across the pitch together a little bit more, putting a tackle in, actually being a bit more physical and not just allowing them to play, you know. And to be fair to all 16 that went on the pitch tonight, that's what they did in the second half. They're good young footballers with some couple experienced heads in there, and we've played them four times over the last two seasons, and every time we play them we can see what a good football side they are. So you've got to respect them, and you've got to, you know, kind of make sure that you don't take things for granted. And unfortunately, I think we respected them a little bit too much in the first half and allowed them to play in areas that we're trying not to allow them to play in. And then, you know, when you're 2-0 down, then, you know, you can just kind of let go a little bit, I think, and just go and deliver what you're meant to be delivering. And we did that second half. So no, Longridge did really well. We weren't quite at it in terms of being close enough to them as a group first half, so it was easier for them to play. But yeah, second half we fixed it, and yeah, I think deservedly won the game. I think the lads that have started the last two games have run their socks off. They've caused problems in a different way, and then in the second half the more creative players, shall we say, come on the pitch to bigger spaces and more of a broken game and a bit less structure to it, and they're going to cause any team lots and lots of problems. So it's really pleasing that we've gone and won two games, but in the manner that we've done it is even more pleasing, and I hope it continues in that way. And you know, if we can start games a little bit quicker and a little bit better, and then we should be in a good place.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Another vessel, Manxima, was late out of Heysham. She departed at 6 minutes before four, so won't be into in the bay till gone 7 o'clock and on to the link span around 7:30 this evening. So the evening departure is now going to be 8:45. Manxima heads to Heysham, arriving there about 12:30. The overnight departure, 1:30 a.m. back to Douglas at 5:15 tomorrow morning. And the morning departure, 8:45, Manxman heads to Heysham. Tomorrow evening's 8:45, Manxman to Heysham is the subject to possible disruption or cancellation because of the forecast adverse weather. To give the sailing every opportunity to take place, a final decision will be made by the master at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A former Health and Treasury Minister will ask the government if the money ring-fenced for health from the upcoming tax rise will bring about what he's calling tangible change. David Ashford, MHK, has questions on the subject in the House of Keys tomorrow.
I was quite honest back when I was Minister for Health and Social Care and said you could actually put the entire government budget into health and social care. It would probably get spent and then they'd be coming back for more. What we need to do is ensure that we have an efficient system. How is that additional money going to be spent? What is the actual checks? The people I've been out speaking to, people are split 50-50 on this. There's 50% who say they shouldn't have put up tax, it's wrong, it's taking money out of my pocket, I can't afford it. And the other 50% are saying to me, well, we don't mind as such because it's going to health and social care. If Treasury thinks, you know, there was a bit of a backlash with the budget now, the real backlash would come next year. Once people have started paying this in April and they don't feel the health and social care system has improved as a result, I worry about the same thing I used to worry about when I was minister, that it'd get absorbed into the black hole where you don't actually see the tangible benefits, not even catching up, because that is a tangible benefit. However, there's been many occasions where uplifts have gone into health and there's not really been a tangible benefit that's come out the back that patients can see. And that's my concern. I think if you are giving this additional money, particularly the 20 million that's being generated by the 2p, you've got to be able to show to people why it was worth it. It's been a very high inflationary period over the last 2 years. So when the St Jonathan Michael report came out, we have to remember that inflation was running just under 2%. Now, the Sir Jonathan Michael report, everyone's become fixated about the formula. I was the health minister at the time. It was a guide. It wasn't set in stone to actually say, this is what health will cost. It was a guide to say that health expenditure generally runs ahead of normal inflation. We have seen inflationary pressures, and I think at the moment what we need to do is see that the additional money that's going in is actually achieving something.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 17 minutes before 6, Bradford-based Vanquis Banking Group's warned on full-year profits this afternoon as it continues to redevelop its customer proposition and reset pricing, and due to costs associated with reviewing complaints mostly related to credit cards. In an update ahead of its 2023 results on the 27th of this month, the company, which was formerly Provident Financial, said that income for 2024 is expected to be materially lower than consensus expectations of £538.3 million. This is in due part to redevelopments of its customer proposition, which is expected to allow the group to return to modest lending growth from the start of the second quarter. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. The Currys takeover looks like it's off as a US investment firm Elliott Advisors has walked away after being rejected by the Currys board multiple times. It had initially proposed an offer that valued the electrical chain at £700 million and then raised it to £757 million. Currys rebuffed them, stating they significantly undervalued the business. Currys could yet receive a bid from China's JD.com, which said last month it was mulling an offer for the firm. Currys has more than 800 stores globally and employs 28,000 people. In the UK, it operates 300 stores with 15,000 staff, and of course, there's one on the Isle of Man. Elliott, which also owns UK bookseller Waterstones, said today that it had made attempts to engage with the board of Currys, but has now chosen to back off.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets had a negative start to the new trading week. The yen continued to rise as an upward revision in Japan's growth figures bolsters investors' bets. Oil bounced back and gold took a breather from a record-breaking rally. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up just over a tenth of a percent, 7,669. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.4%, 17,744. In America, the Dow Jones Industrial in New York down 0.1%, currently currently 38,685. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.2%, 16,054. And the S&P 500 in the Midwest down 0.2% too at 5,114. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 28 cents, €1 17.2 cents, and 23 South African rand 87 cents. In commodities, gold's up barely 0.1% to 0.007% actually, $2,180 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude is up 0.7% at $82.35.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsay Crook all later?
No, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
Quarter to three.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsay Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Motorists on the Isle of Man are being reminded of the importance of passing horses on the road slowly and carefully. Director of Safety at the British Horse Society, Alan Hiscock, says irresponsible driving can have devastating consequences.
In the UK, there has been 66 horses that have been killed and 86 are injured and three equestrians have been killed. And I know in the Isle of Man that there have been some incidents reported to us, and riders in the Isle of Man have actually, you know, said to us that, you know, it is still challenging riding a horse on the roads. I know drivers don't want to be intimidating, but it is intimidating if a horse is passed at fast speed and too close. Generally, it's cars. We find that HGV drivers generally are pretty good and are motorcyclists, and I know that obviously the Isle of Man has a very big event over there. We came over to the Isle of Man TT a few years ago, and speaking to some motorcyclists, as they are vulnerable road users as well as us, you know, we find that motorcyclists are pretty good. So generally, it's car drivers, and what we're finding, they don't want to be intimidating or cause horse issues. They just don't know how to pass a horse safely. And that's why with our Dead Slow campaign, we're offering four very simple messages to try and inform and guide drivers so that if I see a horse on the road, then I will slow down to a maximum of 10 miles an hour. I will be patient. I won't sound my horn or rev my engine. I will, when safe to do so, pass the horse wide and slow at least 2 meters and drive slowly away. And we're finding that when those messages are understood by drivers, there's the whole involvement with drivers, and they think, yes, I now know that I can pass horses safely.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Beth Espy.
Fastamai. Well, netball first, and the Manx Rams under-17s finished as silver medalists in the Europe Netball Under-17 Championship and Challenge in Gibraltar yesterday. For their final match, they took on Israel. The final score, 58-22. Commentators' player of the match was Holly Charmer for her defence, and Isle of Man Netball says everyone should be incredibly proud of their performances over the weekend. So huge congratulations to them. It's been confirmed that FC Isle of Man midfielder Dean Pinnington has completed a move to Bury FC. He joins the current NWCFL Premier Division leaders, having made 30 appearances for the Ravens in this campaign, scoring 7 times. Dean says for him personally, it's a hugely positive move.
It's just good for like me and myself, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just good to know that another team wanted me because I was still on the journey, and like, it's just another step on the journey, and it's just hopefully it can all work out, and yeah, it's been good.
Rugby now, and with a few players away at Twickenham, Douglas still picked up a win in their rearranged regional North West 2 fixture against Kirby Lonsdale, running out 23-17 winners at Portachie. In the women's NC1 North West, the bottom side Vagabonds hosted second place Chester Divas at Bala Fletcher, with the Divas somewhat predictably taking maximum points in an 82-12 win. And Vagas men were too much for Southern Nomads in the Manx Cup. They won 53-0 in the tie at Bala Fletcher. And And just finally, some great news for young Manx athlete Lily Fletcher Merriweather. She won the 1,000 metres race walk at the annual Molly Barnett race walking meeting that was held this year in Malton, Northamptonshire. Her time saw her win the race by more than 8 seconds, with a new personal best that's only a handful of seconds away from the Isle of Man under 13 girls record, which was actually set 20 years ago. So again, huge congratulations to Lily.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 5:25 Loganair from Manchester came in 10 minutes early. Then it's the 5:08 Loganair from Liverpool, the returning patient transfer, that's on time. The 8:05 Loganair from London City showing on time. Outbound tonight, 6 o'clock, Loganair to Liverpool on time. And that's it tonight for departures. On the roads, temporary lights on Governor's Road between Blackberry Lane and Corkhill's Roundabout in Ongan. Doing some patching work. In Ramsey, Bourne Place is due to reopen today, so that should be open. If not, it will be soon. Between Sulby Bridge and St Jude's, the St Jude's Road is closed for resurfacing, and temporary lights on the Lazare Road at Kerramore near Sulby for work on the pavements. Between Croncavoddy and Bagarrow, temporary lights on the TT course near Handley's Corner for drainage work, and the Craignabar to Hilbury has got temporary lights on the TT course. In Douglas, Hillside Avenue is closed for adjacent office window replacement through to Circular Road, and a section of Switzerland Road's closed for construction work. Temporary lights on Brighton Terrace in Douglas at the Mount Bradder Junction for gas main replacement. Phase closures on the Starvey Road for water main work. Phase closures too on Ballachill Ferrick Road in Colby for water main work. Between the Cronk and Sandygate, temporary lights on the Ballamona Road for water main laying. Cian Drogheda Road in Antrus, phase closures there for water main work. South of Kirkmichael, closures on the Ballaliah Road for water main work. And the end of this week should open this weekend off-road, the Heritage Trail between Crosby and Glen Vine. That duct insulation work is due to end.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Now, the matrix signs are showing that everything is fine, although we can see some mist from Douglas Head, so hopefully everything is OK. The next phase of an award-winning project to conserve and repair the Great Laxey Wheel has begun. The details from Siobhan Fletcher.
Manx National Heritage has confirmed the latest works will include repointing and repainting the Lady Isabella's iconic rod duct. The T-rocker, ruds, bogies, associated timbers and ironworks will also be repaired, ready to set in motion, powered by the wheel once again. Designed by the Victorian engineer Robert Casement, the wheel was completed in 1854 to pump water from the depths of the Laxey mines. The impressive 22.1-metre diameter structure found immediate popularity and has remained one of the island's most iconic and dramatic tourist attractions for 170 years. MNH says the project offers a rare opportunity to study and work on one of the Isle of Man's most treasured ancient monuments and the largest working historic water wheel in the world. Members of the public will also have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to learn more about the conservation works in a series of guided tours, enabling visitors to experience works as they happen, with details to be announced in the spring. The Laxey Wheel will reopen to the public for the season on Thursday the 28th of March. It will continue to turn for the majority of the works, with access to the wheel's viewing platform available throughout the project.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
First of May, good evening. It's 6 minutes before six. As part of Junior Achievement, a group of students from Ballacameen High School have been working on a project to support people living with autism. They've developed what they're calling the ARCA app, which aims to improve communication for people who are non-verbal, and while it's initially for the competition, they want to roll it out officially.
We are very much planning to carry this on and pursue it as potentially a business that is hugely successful. That's the main plan.
1,500 individuals are diagnosed with autism, but the waiting times to get diagnosis are like 2 years. So our plan is to implement it into primary school so that the condition is known about and educated from a young age.
It's not just for people with autism. It can also be used by other people who are non-verbal, like especially like also the people with the stroke unit, because they've also become non-verbal.
Down syndrome is also another condition that we plan to help. We just want to help society as a whole, really.
Just recently had a meeting last week with Tanner Smith from South Carolina, and he's big on preaching autism autism positive.
We have voice messages as another section, which basically allows the parents of children to add their own voice messages, which is one tool used for sort of calming measures.
Former government economic advisor John Webster has been sharing his thoughts on this government's tax strategy. Mr. Webster says more needs to be done to encourage businesses to retrain workers in jobs that could become obsolete.
They took 2 years to produce what basically is very little, and it's something which doesn't attack any of the problems of the Isle of Man. It doesn't say anything about productivity. It doesn't say anything about the shortage of houses on the island. We should have some form of land speculation tax, a more punitive tax on people who are using the Isle of Man for accommodation addresses and not living here, people who are increasing the price of houses and rents. There was nothing about that. There was nothing to increase productivity. I would have liked to have seen something where we were encouraging people to address people liking to have new jobs in future because they're going to be displaced from their old ones. That means that we have to start training people. How do you train people? The best way to train people is to get the companies who are employing them to identify what skills they want and say to those companies, you train them and we'll give you some support. I very much like something called the levy grant system, where you say every company in a particular sector will be charged X amount per head of employment, but they can claim that back if they upskill those people. You immediately encourage people to upskill their workforce.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Beth SP. After the news at 6, Phil Gorn is here, looking at the post office in Agenda. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6:30.